You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with your host, Rick Franzi.
Welcome to today's episode of Critical Mass Coast to Coast. I am your host, Rick Franzi. I host this business talk show, which airs live on Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. on the West Coast of the United States. If you're listening to this show as a podcast, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today. And we would encourage you to consider listening to this show live during our broadcast time, heard exclusively here on OCTalkRadio.net. The goal for this show is to help you, our listening audience, make better business decisions. How do we do that? Well, we do that by interviewing thought leaders and peer executives from around the country who have transferable knowledge, ideas, and experiences. I would like to thank Smart Business Magazine for sponsoring the show today. Smart Business Magazine is a management journal providing insight and advice for top decision makers. To learn more about Smart Business Magazine, well then, visit their website, www.sbnonline.com. Critical Mass Coast to Coast is brought to you through a partnership of Critical Mass for Business with Executive Forums business owners in select markets across the United States. Executive Forums is an international organization committed to helping members take their business to the next level. My first book, Critical Mass, The 10 Explosive Powers of CEO Peer Groups, was the first book ever written about the subject of the peer group experience. You know, it's available for sale on Amazon.com as a printed book and a Kindle version. And if you'd be interested in learning more about that book and others, then simply type in my name, Richard Franzi, F-R-A-N-Z-I, and you'll see more of what we've published. If you'd like to learn more about the CEO peer group experience, then I would suggest that you check out our website. And that website is Executive Forums, F-O-R-U-M-S.com. Say, if you're listening live today and you'd like to join in the conversation with one of our two guests, well, the best way to do that is to find the community chat room section of the OCTalkRadio.net's website, log in, post your thoughts. Our producer, Paul, constantly and vigilantly checks them and may bring some of them to my attention, in which case we can work them into one of the two interviews that we have today. I'd like to welcome our first guest to the program. His name is Tim Musgrave, and Tim is the president and CEO of Pressure Systems International. Tim, welcome to Critical Mass Coast to Coast.
Hey, thanks for having us. Appreciate the time to be spent with you.
Well, let's get right into the conversation here on Critical Mass Coast to Coast by asking you to tell us more about Pressure Systems International.
Well, PSI was formed in 1993. We're a small company out of San Antonio, Texas. And through good luck, good fortune, and a lot of great people that work for our company, we've been able to bring an entirely new concept and product to the trucking business. And by trucking business, we deal with the 18-wheelers, the nomenclature of an 18-wheeler. And what we do is, on the trailer tires, we're able to put more air in than will come out from a hole about the size of a normal number two pencil lead. And hence the name Pressure Systems International. And the concept is extremely simple. Our engineers call it an elegantly simple product. Most of our customers look at it and go, son of a gun, I could have gone to Home Depot and made that. And there's actually a lot more to it than what you could do at Home Depot, but it looks very simple, works very simply, and it fits into our philosophy, which is the KISS principle, which a lot of people use, and we've copied that as well. Probably what we're most proud of is the what we do for our employees, and if that's something that attacked you would like me to take in this interview, I'd be more than happy to, or we can talk about how the product works and what it does. Whatever way you'd like me to lean, I'd be happy to do that.
Okay, well, we have ample time today to cover a variety of topics, Tim. One of the ones that I did want you to explain to our audience, because as you've probably been told, this Critical Mass Coast to Coast show is really intended to share best practices and ideas and actions that peer CEOs and business owners are taking for the betterment of our listening audience, which are predominantly CEOs and business owners of mid-market companies. And I know that one of the interesting things that your company has done for a significant amount of time is build a special relationship with your employees, and you do that based on the concept of using corporate cornerstone coins. And I guess I'd like you to explain to our audience, first of all, for those that may not be familiar with these products, mm-hmm. what those coins are, and then how you use them at PSI.
Sure. Many years ago, around 1995, 96, on the airline, when you're bored and the plane's late and you've read everything, you finally go down to the magazine that just sells all kinds of stuff. And in that magazine and the older magazines back in the 90s, I saw these coins that you could buy, and they were always uplifting types of phrases on them. And I picked randomly for myself four coins, and those coins were Dare to Soar, Whatever It Takes, Attitude is Everything, and Never Give Up. And I would glue them back to back and carry two coins with four sayings on them. And I carried those around. We were an entrepreneurial company at that time, a startup company, and like everyone else that tries to do something new or bring a new product out, you get beat up a lot and you get a lot of no. And it takes some fortitude to go forward. And those coins for me were a comfort to not give up, not to quit, try to maintain our focus and go forward. And so over time, when we started hiring, I thought it would be interesting if we made those four coins our cornerstones. And what we do is we now have a coin with three of the phrases on the back and the fourth phrase on the front. And our employees can pick which coin they want with the phrase on front. As an example, if you picked Dare to Soar, the back would have the other three phrases, Whatever It Takes, Attitude is Everything, and Never Give Up. And conversely, if they had Whatever It Takes, Dare to Soar would be on the back with Attitude is Everything and Never Give Up. And so when our employees have worked for us for the 90-day discretionary period on both our parts, and they become a full-time employee, we give them the opportunity to pick which coin they would like to have and to carry. And we have a formal presentation of that coin. And at that presentation, I give the coin to the employee, and I look them directly in the eye, and I have their hand in a handshake, and I ask them to let that coin make a difference in their relationship with their God, with their family, and with their fellow employees. And I explain to them that if they'll do this, their life will be blessed and positive from this time forward. And when you think you have something that you can't stand, whether it be an injury to a child or a parent or a loved one, if you'll look at your coin, look at the phrases, and do the proper thing mind-wise, thinking-wise, you can work through the whatever it happens to be, through the horrible thing that's happened, and come out with a positive result. And our employees, those coins, again, it wasn't my idea. It's something I picked out of a magazine and used them for the cornerstones of our company. It wasn't an original thought, but I have never seen anything as powerful as that with employees. And consequently, when we have a new employee in the manufacturing area, Rick, normally when they come in, every morning I greet every one of our employees. I go through our production area, I go through the offices, I say hello, I touch them, I shake hands, I look them in the eye, I try to find out what's going on with them, with their families. I know each employee's name after a period of time. Once they've been here, I'll commit their I'm trying to commit their name to memory from day one, but sometimes it takes me a lot longer to memorize their names. But I find that very important as an employee of our company, and with our philosophy and ideals with this company, to have human contact with these people that work for us. And when they come to work for us in the beginning, the vast majority cannot look me in the eye. And when they shake my hand, it's kind of a wet fish and their head's off to the side. And over the years, I've tried to understand, why is this? Why can't they look you in the eye, shake your hand, and say good morning? And I believe the reason that they can't is because of their lot in life. They have come up on the wrong side of the tracks. They've been forced to work at a very early time. They've been forced to take care of kids that weren't theirs. Or they've gotten pregnant at a very young age, 15, 16. They have children at home. They have not been educated. And so once I realized this, our company has tried to change their lives. We want this to be not a full-time experience for their lifetime, but a stop-off point to where when they come to work for us and can't look us in the eye and can't shake our hand, we want them to leave on top of the world for a better job. And any employee that writes me a note and tells me why they want to further their education, that employee is allowed to then go to that school, night school normally, and we will pay for it. We'll better them. And two examples, I think, highlight how this works. One is our VP of manufacturing, Mike McIver, has bought into what we do here at PSI 100%, and he's a great teacher. And years ago, when we were learning as a company about lean manufacturing, and when we were learning about continuous improvement, he had our first Kaizen event, and I was not asked to be a part of that event, and I didn't quite understand why, but I stayed out of it. And then when they were done with the event, they asked me to come in for the presentation, and they had redesigned a cell where we were manufacturing. Young men and women and old men and women that could not look me in the eye, could not shake hands when they first came, were standing up in front of 30 to 40 people, a laser in their hand, and giving a presentation on their part of the cell and their part of continuous improvement and what their part in this cell means and how it will be better. And I was absolutely blown away by this. And at the end of the presentation, Mike said, "Tim, do you want to say something?" And I'm not embarrassed to say it. I burst into tears at the end of the table. I'm sure all of them were looking at me going, "What's wrong with the old man? I mean, what happened?" And I had so much joy in my heart knowing that what we had done here at PSI was exactly what we had hoped. We had educated these people to the point where they were proud of their lot in life. They were proud of what they did. They were proud of their product, and they were proud of their fellow workers. And a second part that comes to mind on this to prove it is we had a young man that came, started off as an assembler, worked through production, ended up managing inventory department. And he had asked for schooling, and we let him go to the different types of courses that he wanted to take to improve himself. And he became a very valued employee to us. And one day, Mike is in a horrible humor, and I wait for him to tell me what's wrong, and he doesn't. So late morning, I call him in the office, and I asked him what was wrong. And he said, "Well, Bobby quit." I said, "Bobby back in inventory?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "Well, he took another job." I said, "Where did he go?" And he said, "He went to UPS. I said, "Bobby went to Big Brown?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, what's he doing?" He said, "Well, he's managing their warehouse in Seguin, which is a town about 30 miles to the east of San Antonio. And I said, so Bobby, who a year ago couldn't look anybody in the eye, didn't want to shake your hand, we were scared of him because of the way he dressed and the way he looked, is now working at UPS as a manager of multi-million-dollar inventory facility. I said, Mike, when you shave in the morning, you're looking at yourself with the shaving cream on, you just high-five yourself as many times as you want because you did exactly what we're about at PSI. We can find someone else to come do our inventory. It's a little deal in the big scheme of things. But what you did is you took an individual and you gave him a whole other opportunity in life, one that he never would have had under any circumstance had Mike not done what he did. And that's, those are two examples, I think, culminations of the fact that the four cornerstones here at PSI do work for our employees and work very well for them. Another thing that I think is a good example of the buy-in to what we're trying to do is I asked our CFO before you called. I had a pretty good idea, but it wasn't. I didn't have it correct. I thought we had about 90% buy-in into health insurance for our employees, and he told me we have virtually 100%. There's one employee that does not have health insurance. And when we started this 15 years ago, I couldn't get, on the manufacturing side, I couldn't get a 10% buy-in. On the other side of the coin, on the 401k program, we have about a 45% buy-in. And we do, if they give us a dollar, we give them $1.50. We put 50 cents in on the dollar, and it's kind of a no-brainer. We've tried to explain it. It's more difficult for hourly employees on that side than it is on the health, but the health is a huge gain for us for their quality of life, and because it's something they've not been exposed to and something that they normally wouldn't have and something that they don't want to spend the money on. Quite frankly, now they see the benefits of it. So those are some of the things that that we believe in here at PSI with our employees. And we understand that it's all about who is lucky enough to get educated. We explain a surgeon has two people from different ethnic backgrounds on the table, totally covered in a white sheet, and he's operating on their liver or whatever it happens to be, he has no clue what the ethnicity is of either one of those people. And the brain is the same. Cut us all open, we're the same. It's just, in my case, I grew up as an Air Force brat. I had great education, private school, Northwestern University that my parents paid for. And I was the guy with the silver spoon. And most of the employees that worked for us didn't have those opportunities, and I explained to them, if I were raised the same way they were raised, I would be where they are, and if they were raised the way I was raised, they'd be where I am. And so education is a huge thing, and in this economy, I watched some of my fellow employers, and I'm appalled that as the economy drops, people are let go for no reason. When you let an hourly employee go, or someone in the lower echelons of salary, you make a devastating event happen in their lives because they're living paycheck to paycheck. So yes, we have just had the best year we've ever had so far, and we doubled our volumes. We were running a night shift in San Antonio. You've probably been reading, we're running over 100 for, I think it's 53 days, something like that. It's horrible. The warehouse and the facility where we manufacture is not air-conditioned. We have these big fans and lots of fans going and so forth. But it's not air-conditioned. And at night, we were running a second crew. We've now shut that crew down. And our instructions were assimilate them back into the day shift. And someone said, well, we don't need them, at this point because the volumes are dropping and we don't need them. And the point that we made back was we do need it. They gave us from 3:30 in the evening until midnight every night with 100-plus degrees back there. They never complain. They haven't shut this off. So instead, assimilate them into the day shifts and don't rehire when normal attrition happens. And that's something that we believe strongly in, is people that give us their all. It's up to me and my team to figure out how we don't just cut them and don't have any face on them. Every one of our employees have a face on themselves, and, yes. and we know those faces. We want to keep them here. So maybe yes, that's something that's of benefit to other people. Maybe not. It takes a lot of TLC.
Yes.
But I'm an older guy, and it isn't all about the money. I still report to a board, and I've got to make a profit, but I find by being kind to people and treating them correctly, they make more money for this company than it would make if we were brutal on the relations side when it came to cutting. So
yeah, that's an interesting perspective, Tim, that I see shared very frequently with small and mid-market business owners and CEOs. The connotation of a cold-hearted CEO, business owner who slashes the people the first chance she gets or he gets may apply for larger companies, multinationals. I think it's easier for them to top that attitude. If anything, I think many mid-market and small business owners agonize at great length over the employees that they're stewards for. And your variety of stories about how you've created a culture at PSI that gets sounds like outstanding results while also being a caring organization, I think is uplifting to all that are listening here live on Critical Mass Coast to Coast, or maybe some point in the future as a podcast. I did have a follow-up question that I did want to ask of you with the time that we have allotted here today, Tim, if I may be able to ask you one additional question?
Certainly.
Okay. So you talk about the firm offering a product that when people see its simplicity, they sort of slam their head and maybe say, why didn't we think of that? Can you, in a few minutes, help our audience to understand what is it that PSI offers to the trucking community, and you know, what is the technology/product service that you offer to the business community?
Sure. Well, most people don't know, unless they're in the trucking industry, that the number one cost to a fleet, a J.B. Hunt, a Schneider, a FedEx, a UPS, the number one cost are their tires behind labor. And fuel fluctuates back and forth, and it can jump up into first or second place depending on where it is at the time. But tire maintenance is always in the top three of the costs. And on pure maintenance, it's the number one cost. And so what we do by being able to keep the integrity of that tire by keeping it properly inflated to the cold temperature pressure setting, we're doing a myriad of things. If I were, Rick, I've never met you, so you may be 300 pounds or you may be 100 pounds, but regardless of your weight, if I were to put you in my grandson's little red wagon and I were to inflate the tires of that little red wagon to the proper cold temperature pressure setting and pull you around his gym floor where he plays basketball, and then I were to let 10% of the air out of those tires, and I were to pull you around the same basketball court again, am I going to use more horsepower the first time when they're properly inflated or the second time when they're underinflated? And anyone knows you're going to use a little more horsepower that second time. And so for these fleets, a 1.5% savings on fuel economy is a tremendous amount of money. It's millions and millions of dollars. A trailer pulling a 40,000 pound trailer, they get about 6.2, 6.3 miles to the gallon. So they're nothing like the efficiency of our car. Right now, this administration is pushing green very hard, and Smart Way approved is a buzzword for the industry. And you've probably seen, I think I read that you're in California, is that correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You've seen trailers with air deflection shields going down the sides of the trailers all the way down to stop airflow from hitting tires and undercarriage, and so that their MPG is better. But imagine what happens if you put those, and they're required in California now. You're required if you cross the state lines and come in to have that. And can you imagine if you weren't taking care of your tires, what difference would it make if you were running deflectors? Because you're running underinflated, so you've got more resistance on the road that you're overcoming and building up heat and building up resistance and burning up fuel. So also these fleets want to recap their tires, and I would assume that most of your audience would think recap, okay, those are the pieces of rubber we see out on the road, and we all think, golly, why didn't that guy just go ahead and buy a new tire? He bought that retread, and why would he do that? There it is, out on the road. Well, in fact, in the mid-2000s, 2004, 2005, the state of Florida, through their police, Highway Patrol, tried to pick up every, what we call alligators in the industry, pieces of black rubber on the roads. Amazingly enough, it came out that 51% were recaps and 49% were new tires. Mm. And the reason you get that is, and I'll try not to be very technical here because I'm really not technical anyway, but if you took today in San Antonio, our outside temperature is 100. The temperature of the asphalt on our roads is 140. The tire temperature, the temperature of that tire running, is the sum of those two, 100 plus 140, divided by 2, 120. For every 10% underinflated that trailer is running, add 80 degrees to the tire temperature. So you're now running at 200 degrees, and the vulcanizing process starts around 210. Wow. So it doesn't matter if you're a new tire or a retread. If you're running underinflated and creating that friction and that heat, and you get up above 210, the tire's going to come apart. And so that's something that we help to manage. Also, these fleets want to do that recapping. And if you run underinflated, if you put your hand up in the air and then just kind of squeezed it down, that's what the sidewall is doing. And as it flexes like that, it loses its structure, and you cannot recap it more than a time or two. And the fleets want to recap 3 to 4 times on a tire carcass. So these are some obviously on-time delivery. It's much better for a driver to know that he's got a potential flat because our system is working and alerting him. And when he's domiciled that evening after he's gotten gotten his deliveries done and gotten to his place of business in the evening, he can say, you know, the PSI system was working. We got a flat back there. Please fix it before I go out in the morning. So right. We eliminate a lot of the Saturday night specials, which is you're beside the road and, you know, some guys can sell you a tire at an inflated price, plus the labor, plus the time to get to him, and he's late on his delivery. You can imagine how that works for a restaurant or someone that's got an on-time delivery that they need. So these are some of the things that our system will help improve in the cost to a fleet.
Well, that's very interesting, and I appreciate the time that you are spending here with us today on Critical Mass Coast to Coast. I have to ask you very simply, if someone would like to learn more about your firm, Tim, how do they find you? What's your website?
Yeah, our website is www.psi-atis.com. And you can find ROIs. You can find everything you need to know about us on that website, psi-atis.com.
Well, I appreciate the thorough conversation that we had today. You've I think, given our audience something to consider, and you're certainly, I think, inspirational in how you view your employees and the culture that you've built within your company. So thank you, Tim Musgrave, President and CEO of Pressure Systems International, for being our guest on Critical Mass Coast to Coast today.
Rick, thanks for visiting us down in San Antonio. Have a good one.
My pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
See ya.
That was our first guest, Tim Musgrave, as I said, who is President, CEO, Pressure Systems International. Our second guest, Edward Torres, will be here. He's with City Tours Incorporated. But first, here's a word from a sponsor.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Welcome back to Critical Mass Coast to Coast. As I said before the break, our second guest today is Edward Torres, City Tours Incorporated. Edward, I'd like to welcome you to Critical Mass Coast to Coast.
Thank you. I'm pleased to be with you today.
Why don't we start the interview on the radio program very simply, Edward, and ask you to explain to our audience a little bit about your firm, City Tours Incorporated.
City Tours Incorporated offers, we're in the tour and transportation business. We operate several different businesses. One of them is Go Airport Shuttle, which is one of the largest airport shuttle providers in the world. We own the franchise in San Antonio and have an exclusive contract with the airport here, providing transportation to and from the airport for business travelers, locals, to all the hotels, resorts, and even military bases. We also operate Alamo Trailways. We have the Trailways franchise for San Antonio, and that's our motor coach charter bus service, where we service all of the United States and Canada, doing a lot of work with schools, military, conventions, that type of thing. We also run daily sightseeing tours of San Antonio with a business called Alamo Sightseeing Tours. We have another tour company called the Grand Trolley, which operates a trolley tour of San Antonio and a ticket center located right in front of the Alamo Plaza. So we're really deep in the tour and transportation business here in San Antonio and in Texas.
We had the good fortune last week on Critical Mass Coast to Coast, because this is a national show, but we had a guest who was also from San Antonio, and part of what we were talking about with her was the importance of tourism to the economy that is in San Antonio, especially as kind of the business demographics have been evolving certainly over the past 10 or 20 years. So it sounds like your business, City Tours Incorporated, really is kind of largely invested in the tourism that is in and around the greater San Antonio area. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And, you know, San Antonio has become one of the premier tour destinations in the country. We're a city that's really grown over the last 25 years, and it's a city that's not only friendly for conventions, but it's just such a visitor-friendly town. I mean, we're rich in culture and history here in San Antonio, and it's in a great location, you know, good pricing, and there's just so many different things you could do here. So we're proud to be, you know, from here, from San Antonio, from Texas, and very lucky and fortunate to be in a industry that has been growing over the last decade or so.
I traveled, I had the good fortune of traveling regularly, I would say, to San Antonio in the late 80s and for most of the 90s. One of the memories that I have there, you know, in addition to the business calls, but in the evenings, especially when the weather breaks and it's, a little maybe cooler at night, is the downtown, you know, kind of the Riverwalk, if you will. It may not be the right name anymore for what it's called, but it's a beautiful area with, you know, being able to sit outside, sit along the river there and kind of enjoy dinner or refreshments. So it's a very, San Antonio is a surprisingly interesting and pretty city. You know, when you think of Texas, you may not think of kind of what you see when you get to San Antonio and the surrounding area.
Absolutely. It's we always suggest it's one of the biggest small cities in the United States. It's the people here are just very, very friendly. It's you know, having done this, I've been in the tourism business for 25 years. I started real young, and I can't tell you how many times visiting with tourists and having them ride on the bus with me, where they would sit there and think that they're coming into San Antonio and they're looking for, they think the Alamo's in the middle of the desert somewhere. So, you know, we always joke about that, but San Antonio is just a a very beautiful city. We're very fortunate to have the Riverwalk here, which is that and the Alamo are the top two attractions in the state of Texas. Over 5 million tourists a year visit these two attractions, and it is still called the Riverwalk, and it's very, very romantic, very beautiful, full of energy and excitement with restaurants and shops and boutiques and clubs. So we're very fortunate to have that you know, the gym here in San Antonio to be able to work with.
Yeah, it's very cosmopolitan. I mean, you can walk up and down the Riverwalk, get over the river to the other side, and there's every kind of restaurant you want and entertainment. And a thing about the Alamo that surprised me the first time I saw it, because you think of this Alamo and the story behind it, and it's the relative scale, the size of the property, the height of the walls. You know, I had expected, frankly, something that was higher. And when you see it, you go, okay, well, that makes sense for the time in which it was, you know, a fortress. But, for me, the memory that I took away is that, well, it looks different than maybe I had envisioned based on the history around it. I don't know if other tourists have made that comment or if I'm just kind of off the mark a little bit. But
yeah, all the time. I mean, I think all these tourists are used to seeing the movies on television, expect this large compound. And actually, it was much larger initially. I mean, the Alamo that you see nowadays in scale is very small to what it once was. It was an actual working mission at one time that had walls that extended several hundred yards in front of it, in front of the actual building going around it. So it was much larger one time. If you visited, for example, Mission San Jose in San Antonio, it's one of the most restored missions in the United States. That's kind of what the Alamo looked like at one time, just a little bit smaller. But it was a very large compound. The building itself wasn't any larger than it is now, but the compound itself was quite impressive at one time.
Excellent. Let me ask you and kind of take your folks in a different direction here, if I may, Edward, on Critical Mass Coast to Coast. And that's, of all the business experiences and lessons that you've learned, have you built a guiding principle, a principle that you're using to lead and grow city tours into the future?
Yeah, I learned at a very young age, and that was that, you know, you've got to build partnerships with people and build relationships. To me, that was the, you know, I grew up as a young boy, I grew up in Catholic schools, and you know, back in those days, they taught, I think, treat your neighbor like you'd want to treat yourself. And so as I grew, I got into business when I was 19 years old, so I was really young. And I remember as I would go and approach customers in my little tour vehicle when I first started, I always thought to myself, I have to gain these people's trust. I have to build relationships with these people. And that was my driving force back in those days was, and still today, is build relationships with people. Get to know them, let them get to know you. Build a rapport and answer, you know, don't deliver what you say you're going to deliver, be accessible to them, and throughout time, you know, this relationship and this bond will really help the business and help me as an individual and a person to be successful. So that's really my main thing is building relationships with people you know, being honest and being accessible. I think really when you have a good reputation like that with your customers, it really goes a long way into building your business.
Edward, as you were answering that, and I appreciate you sharing your guiding principle, and you tell the story about being 19 and having your first tour coach, and what was the inspiration for you as an entrepreneur? I mean, how did you get started doing this?
It's a funny story. My father was actually a tour guide for Gray Line Tours for about 40 years. So as a little kid, I used to ride on the tour bus with my father. And I remember telling him one day, you know, one day we're going to own the buses. We're not going to work for somebody else. And he worked really hard for many, you know, 40 years doing this. And he retired. He was in his 70s. I was 19 years old. And I was in college playing basketball. I sustained a knee injury and couldn't play anymore and decided that I wanted to get in the tour business. And I said, will you teach me the history of San Antonio? And he said, sure. So kind of taught me some history on the city, got a little van, and started driving around town giving tours in a little 10-passenger van. And immediately had success. I mean, once again, it comes back to learning how to, you know, relate to people and building rapport, and just immediately had some success, and every year grew and grew and grew, and, you know, to the size that we are, you know, today. So that's the inspiration for my story, was, you know, riding on the tour bus as a child with my father, and saying, you know, let's be owners of this thing one day, not employees.
Wow, that is that. I'm glad I asked the question, because that's a very interesting answer. You're right. And can you share with our audience a challenge that may be facing City Tours right now, and the steps and ideas that you have taken or are planning to take to mitigate that challenge from affecting your firm?
Well, right now, one of the biggest challenges that we face is oil prices and the uncertainty. What's going to happen with, you know, for my industry? Oil prices, of course, are a big deal. You know, we operate a fleet of about 33 vehicles and buy a lot of fuel every year, and that's one of our biggest expenses. What we have done more recently is we've had to become more aggressive in our contracts. When we're dealing with, we have a lot of contracts, whether with the city or the government or school districts, where we've had to, you know, tell them that we have to be able to negotiate a fuel surcharge or have some flexibility in our pricing, so that we weren't stuck. In past years, we, you know, you enter these contracts where they didn't allow for a lot of flexibility on, for something like a fuel surcharge, where, you know, fuel could be, you know, $2.50 a gallon, and 6 months later could be, you know, $4.50 a gallon, and that could be a real big issue, especially when you're dealing with contracts, because there's in the past there was no room to be able to adjust the pricing structure. So we've, as we've moved forward, have definitely in our contracts had the requirement of having some flexibility when it comes to fuel charges. And in our other businesses, we, you know, have had to, you know, impose a fuel surcharge to help, you know, cover the additional fuel to be able to mitigate that additional cost.
Well, running 33 vehicles, it's that's a significant fleet in many different ways. But I'm sure fuel consumption is a huge item for you, and that can really affect the bottom line, can't it? Because, as you said, it can run up very quickly on you, and you really have a tough time, I'm sure, if you can't pass that surcharge on to your, you know, your contract clients. You know, that's hard for a small mid-market company to eat a significant rise in fuel prices when you have that large of a vehicle fleet, I'm sure.
Yeah, 60% of the fuel has increased 60% this year from last year. So that's a big increase.
Right.
So and if you don't have the ability to make an adjustment, that could be a serious problem, you know, moving forward. So, and so many of our business is contracted. About half of my business is through a different contract, through one or different, many different contracts. So we've definitely had to, I've recently renewed a big contract that's a five-year contract with a five-year option, which last time I didn't have the fuel surcharge kick in. We had to go through a process that could take up to 6 months to a year, which, you know, 6 months or a year down the road to get a rate increase could be, you know, catastrophic. So
right, yeah, because you're picking those payments every day. You know, however the drivers are buying the fuel, credit cards or at your own shop or something. I mean, the money's coming out of your account every day to fund that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So,
all right. Well, let's final question here for you on Critical Mass Coast to Coast. Talk to us about what you see as the current opportunities for growth facing City Tours, and what you plan or how you plan to leverage those opportunities into continuing to move the business forward.
Well, I think that we have a lot of opportunities. First of all, we mentioned earlier I'm in a market in a city that's booming. Since I've started this business 25 years ago, we've doubled our hotel room nights. The convention center's had a huge renovation and tripled their space there. There's some more opportunities with some more contracts, government contracts that will be coming up here soon. And, you know, bus transportation in today's environment is becoming more and more popular because it is a very environmentally friendly way to travel. When you can use one vehicle that holds 57 people to get around, instead of, you know, that could take 50, 57 cars off the road. Same thing with the airport shuttle. Our average shuttle holds about 14 seats. Well, that's the equivalent of 14 cars that could be taken off the road. And we run our vehicles on cleaner burning diesel, which is, you know, burns very, very clean. So as time goes on, more and more people, I think, are more aware of the environmental impact of using this kind of mode of transportation. And I think that's a big opportunity as we move forward to continue to offer service to, you know, the masses.
I guess just a thought, and I don't know, I'm just curious. I'd like to learn as well, because part of what we do here on Critical Mass Coast to Coast is educate the audience, so why not try to educate the host? As the San Antonio Spurs have become a more formidable and successful franchise over the time that you've been a business operator and owner in the city, has that success affected your business in any positive way?
Well, I'm sure it has. I mean, I think the fact that the Spurs have had success has drawn more attention to San Antonio. And I think when you get all that advertising on television when they're in the playoffs and championship games and all the focus and attention is it's great advertising to every time there's a commercial during the NBA Finals to have a picture of the Alamo and the Riverwalk and those type of things. It's great. I think the Spurs have been a great asset to the city. They've had a lot of success over the last 10 years. And that success, of course, has helped put the city on the map even more than it already is. We also have some wonderful theme parks that were added in here in the last 15 years. So all these different attractions really help San Antonio put us on the map. You know, one more point is, you know, I was asked recently by a friend of mine, why do you think that your business has done so well this year with a tough economy? Because we've had a good year. And had a good last 2 years. And a lot of it is, I think, that because the economy is in a tough spot and because of the concerns traveling abroad, that more people are traveling domestically. And for that reason, you know, we're getting a lot more business because we are a tourism city. So, you know, once again, we're very fortunate to be in San Antonio. The Spurs definitely have done a lot for our city as far as giving us even more visibility through all their success.
And I think that's a great observation, and it kind of supports a belief system that I have, which is success breeds other success. And it maybe there's not always a direct line that you can draw between one organization's success and other firms or organizations in the same market. But I and your observation, I think, is really astute, that there are unintended positive consequences from the Spurs getting national notoriety and being in the media and on TV that has a reciprocal positive effect. And so that's why I think it's really critical for business leaders and government leaders and community leaders to work together when they have something that is really positive about their city or their state or their county, to really try to invest in figuring out how to multiply that success for others, because there is definitely that potential to have a halo effect, if you want to think of it that way. But, you know, sometimes you get infighting or people who get jealous or whatever, and they lose the opportunity to really capitalize on a really good asset that they've developed inside their community.
You've said something I think that's very, very important, and that is when you're in business, I think as business owners, a lot of us are real reluctant to work with other businesses. We're reluctant to share information. We're reluctant to what we fear of we're going to promote someone else and lose the business instead of, you know, getting it ourselves. And I think as we move forward, that's a dangerous way to think. I think we do need to partner with other businesses. I partner with attractions. Let's market each other's products. Let's get more people. You know, I think we have to look at the big picture. And the big picture is we have to get as many people into San Antonio that we can. All of us collectively, all the theme parks, all the attractions, all the restaurants. Because we're really, our competition isn't necessarily each other. Our competition is New York and San Francisco and Las Vegas and Chicago. Let's get people into San Antonio. Once we get them here, How do we work together to cooperatively get them to go to your place and my place together? Let's do bounce back coupons or packaging. And those things are very, very successful. Maybe our per capita is not as high, but we get more volume and we get more visibility. So, you know, one thing that I do talk to people about, business people in the town, is we need to work together. We need to partner together. We need to help each other out. And when we do that thing, I think we're ensuring that we're successful.
Edward, I'd like to thank you for being our guest on Critical Mass. But before we leave, I have to ask you, if someone would like to learn more about City Tours, how do they find you online?
Our website is www.citytoursinc.com.
Again, Edward Torres, thank you very much for sharing your story and more about your company and your wonderful city. I appreciate you being a friend of Critical Mass, the radio show.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure being on your show.
Have a good day.
You too.
I hope you've enjoyed our show today, ladies and gentlemen, and the interviews have provided you with new ideas, information, and insight that you can use to make better business decisions. I would like to thank Smart Business Magazine for sponsoring the show today, and Smart Business Magazine is a management journal providing insight and advice for top decision makers like you. For more information about Smart Business Magazine, please visit their website, www.sbnonline.com. Say, if you'd like to learn more about CEO peer groups and collaborative thinking and decision making, not unlike some of the ideas that our guest today shared with you, then visit our website, www.executiveforums.com. So this is Rick Franzi, host of Critical Mass Coast to Coast, saying until the next show, I hope all your decisions move your company in a positive direction.
You've been listening to Critical Mass Coast to Coast, only on OCTalkRadio.net.